Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know
I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus 40 years ago. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Well, depending on your musical taste or your age, you may say, oh, I'd love a little bit more of that. Or you may be so glad it was so short. Just all depends. That's the second time Rob has heard it, and he enjoyed it both times, and he said it took him back to the good old days 40 years ago when his mother forced him to listen to the Statler Brothers on vinyl. And then, of course, we started singing some of their secular stuff. Some of you may know, you know, counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. What's the next line? Okay, somebody's got playing solitaire to one with a deck of 51. but the theme of that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Back in the 1960s, there was this comic that was produced by a man, I've got his name, Robert Combs, I believe is correct, and, you know, is just passing through, you know, let's chill, we're just passing through life. Well, you know, that's a theme of the Bible. We, the people of God, this is not our final home. We've got a much better place to look forward to. We are looking on beyond when we're going to be with Jesus face to face. We might be looking forward, as you might be, I am, to possibly being the generation that hears the trumpet and meets him in the air. If not, I am looking forward to the day that I take my last breath and that which is truly me slips out of this body and gets to go to be with Jesus. This is not my home, although I do like some of the stuff here, kind of like my home, and I like, you know, this community, and, you know, I like the vehicles that I drive. But this is a theme in the Old Testament. Listen to what the book of Hebrews says as this comes up on the screen. This is talking about the saints of old, and the author of Hebrews says this about them. In fact, this is Hebrews 11, which is what we call the heroes of faith. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Basically, they're just passing through. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, just as He has prepared that city for you and I, also those of us who are our followers. This world is not our eternal home. We are just passing through. But here's something else that we need to remember and realize. This is still where we live. And God has some expectations for us while we are here. We might be just passing through, but God has some expectations for us while we're here. This morning, I want to talk to you on the topic, let's love our city abundantly. Let's love our city abundantly. Now, Columbus is many of your city or the surrounding area. But some of you live in Hope or in Seymour or in North Vernon. Love that city. Take what I'm saying today, which is going to be focused towards Columbus, and love that city. I'm going to invite you to turn to an Old Testament passage in the prophet Jeremiah's writing. This is from the 29th chapter. And many of you, of course, have a favorite verse from Jeremiah 29, and that is not a verse we're going to read this morning, but it talks about, I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. But today we're going to start in the fourth verse and read unto the seventh verse of Jeremiah chapter 29. Let me give you a little bit of context of what has taken place. In fact, if your chapter heading on 29 is like mine, it says, a letter to exiles. The nation of Israel, in their disobedience to God, was being punished by God, and they have been exiled to Babylon. They are now living in a land that is not their own. They are living amongst people that are not their own. They are living amongst people that don't worship their God. They have been exiled. The prophet Jeremiah talks to them about how they are to live in the exile. Daniel has prophesied that exile will be 70 years. It's going to be a 70-year exile. And so Jeremiah is going to talk about it because many of them were thinking, oh, we'll be here for a little bit. Listen, and I'm going to say this. I have known too many Christians that have been so looking forward to the rapture, it's going to happen, it's just around the corner, that they don't live today. And no, we are not exiled on planet Earth. This is our temporary home. We're not exiled. And this has nothing to do as if God is punishing us by having us live on planet Earth or live in Columbus. That's not a punishment. But I believe we can extract from this passage some things that God wishes for us to know and to do while we're just passing through. Remember, we are just passing through, but even in just passing through, we are to live here. So Jeremiah chapter 29, picking it up in the fourth verse, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Listen to what he says, verse 5. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them, so that you may have grandchildren. Multiply. Do not dwindle away. And this is our key verse, verse 7. And work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. On the screen is verse 7, which is our key verse. And I've actually put the Hebrew word in there because and this is also in your notes if you have a note sheet. What this verse is saying is work for the peace and prosperity. Basically, they are told to work for the shalom of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its shalom will determine your shalom. The Hebrew word shalom is not just a greeting, or it's not just a way of saying goodbye. It is a word that has such a variety of nuances that it means so many things. In fact, different translations of the Bible translate verse 7 in different ways, and I think it helps us to understand both the word shalom and what God wants us to do while we love our city. Look what it says. In the New Living Translation, shalom is transferred welfare. For its welfare, the welfare of Columbus, the welfare of North Vernon, will determine your welfare. New King James Version says, For in its peace, you will have peace. NIV says, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. There's this tension. This world is not my home. This city is not my final home. I'm just a passing through. But at the same time, I am to invest myself, involve myself in the city where God has called me to reside, where God has called you to reside. God expects that because you and I live here, whether that be Columbus, Hope, Elizabethtown, North Vernon, Edinburgh, or wherever you live, God expects that because you and I live here, our community's welfare, peace, and prosperity will be improved. Because we live here. Last fall, as I was praying and seeking direction from the Holy Spirit as to what His desires were for our church and how I was to lead us, one of the things that He brought to my mind was He wants our church to begin to impact our communities, to go out into them and to touch people's lives. We are to minister to and serve our communities. Now, hear this part. We are to minister to and serve our communities with no other agenda than to love them and to be the hands and feet of Jesus extended. I believe that our church does a very good job of being the hands and feet of Jesus one to another. Could we improve? Certainly. We always can show better love one to another. But what about our communities? And so I have four statements in your notes. We'll probably get through them all today. If we don't, that's okay, because this is a theme that is going to be developed and worked on. But the first statement is this: how will our community see Jesus if not through us? How will our community see Jesus if not through us? How will those outside the doors of this church understand the love of our Savior, the compassion of our Savior, the giving of our Savior, if not through us? Because Jesus is not coming back physically on planet Earth except to take us home. So in that period of time before He comes to take us home, He's not going to be walking our streets, but you and I are. He's not going to be going into Walmart or Target or Kohl's or wherever you shop. He's not going to be going into the Circle K or to Kroger. He's not going to be going into those places, but yes, He is. Because He who lives in you goes into all those places as you go. Are you being the hands and the feet of Jesus? How will our community see Jesus if not through us? See, we need to love our city abundantly. We need to make a difference. And this brings me to the second thing that I feel that I want to communicate to you this morning. Are we, is this church making a measurable difference in our local communities? Are we simply conducting church services? Because if all we're called to is conduct church services, then why doesn't Jesus just take us home? We're going to have a wonderful worship service. No, He has something else for us to do. He has a world to touch. So the second point is this: how can our community be noticeably different because our church is here? How can our community, whichever one that you are in, but let's talk about Columbus right now, how can Columbus be noticeably different because our church is here? And the question is our community noticeably different because our church is here? And not just because as you drive by on 10th Street, everybody's going to see the building. That's a noticeable difference, because going back to the 1950s when you drove by here, it wasn't anything except open lot. Then it was the little square building in the back, that's now the offices. And then it expanded over to the second sanctuary. And yes, this drive was different, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the Holy Spirit's talking about. How can our community be noticeably different because our church is here? How can our community be noticeably different because you are here? Where are you? Where am I involved outside of the walls of this church, touching other lives for no other reason than to show the love of God, to be the hands and feet of Jesus? And some of you are. But some of us are not. And the Holy Spirit is calling Columbus First Assembly to begin to make a noticeable difference in our community. Now, noticeable, maybe not on the scale of a church that has 700 or 1,000 or 2,000 in attendance, but it still can be a noticeable difference. Please understand, we are not reaching out with the purpose of getting the community into our building. That'd be a great side benefit. We are doing this to get the people in our building out into the lives of people in our community by finding ways to serve them. That's the gospel incarnate. The love of Jesus incarnate. And it is my hope and my desire, and not just mine. It's interesting that as the Holy Spirit had been speaking about this to me last fall, I had a couple from our church call Sherry and I, and they say, hey, can we do dinner? And I love to eat. I love to do dinner. So that was an easy yes. But Chad and Lori Bierman, we were sitting and enjoying Mexican food, and they said, Pastor, the Holy Spirit has put something on our heart. How is our church being the hands and feet of Jesus into our community? And I said, I understand where you're coming from. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit's been putting on my mind and my heart. And so I asked them if they would head up a group that will explore some options. Now, just because it's being done corporately as a church doesn't mean that you can't be doing anything. I have already contacted two community organizations personally. It has nothing to do with anything this church is going to do. I have contacted two community organizations personally, and I am looking for a place where I can be the hands and feet of Jesus for no other reason than to show the love of Jesus. Excuse me, and I have some training coming up in April with one of the organizations, and the other organization is looking to see where I might be able to spend some time. Outside of this building, outside of my office, in the community. What about you? Will you join me? And if you're not sure what to do, then would you join us at a meeting on the 31st, which is the last Sunday of this month, right after morning service? Chad and Lori are going to be kind of heading this meeting up. I will be there. I'll be in the fellowship hall. It's the beginning of brainstorming. What could we do? But don't wait for the church to do something. Some of you have talked to me over the years. You have a heart for single moms. Or you have a heart for teenage girls that are pregnant. Or you have a heart for teenage young men who are fatherless. Or there's a couple of individuals who have talked to me recently that have a heart for those who are dealing with drug addiction and the opioid crisis. We're not going to start necessarily programs here like that, but I want you to find out who's the rock star in this community. Which organization is making a difference and partner with them? I'm sure they can use the help. Some of the things we will start. Others, we're going to just partner with other individuals so that our people taking time out of their schedules can make a difference. And again, we're talking Columbus because that's where I reside, but if it's North Vernon for you, then how can you be a rock star down in North Vernon? Who's knocking it out of the park in ministering to the homeless? Or who's knocking it out of the park in ministering to single moms? Who is it? Find out who it is and see what you could possibly do to make a difference in your community, because we need to begin to love our communities more abundantly. Here's point three this morning. This is a question that was asked of me at my former church. Actually, I've heard others ask it, and I've asked it of myself. But we'll talk about it here. If CFA ceases to exist, would anyone outside of our regular attenders notice? If we cease to exist, we just closed our doors. Maybe people would notice that the sign was off, because they get their time and temperature on it, or an occasionally uplifting saying. Would they notice? Would anyone besides our regular attenders notice? And not the regular attenders, but sometimes some of our infrequent attenders, would they even notice right away? There was a knock on my door many, many years ago, Sunday evening, approximately 7:30. When I opened the door, It was a lady from our church out there, and I thought, ooh, my goodness, what happened? Because somebody was ill. And do you know some people's expressions give way very easily what they're feeling? Oh, I could tell what she was feeling. I didn't know what it was, but her lower lip was out, and had she been a bull, you know, steam would have been coming out of her nostrils. She said, "Pastor, I was just over at church. There's nobody there. Why is there no Sunday evening service tonight?" And I looked at her and I said, "We canceled Sunday evening church 6 months ago. So why aren't we having it?" I said, "Well, because attendance was down." And she said, "Well, how come you didn't tell anybody?" I said, "It has been in the announcements. It's been in the bulletin. We haven't had it for 6 months. We've talked about it at church. It's been in the church newsletter." "Well, I didn't see it." "Had she been there on Sunday mornings?" "Yes, occasionally." "But if CSA ceased to exist, would anyone outside of our regular tenders notice? Would our community be less rich because we no longer existed?" I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. I'm going to share with you a brief story here. We're going to pick it up at the 36th verse of chapter 9. I'll make a point or two off of the story. So there was a believer in Joppa. Joppa was a city in Israel named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, "Please come as soon as possible." Now, Peter, at this point, God was using him powerfully, and there's healings that have been taking place. So his reputation as being a man who is functioning in the power of God was known. That's why they went to find Peter. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and he helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. And news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed a long time in Joppa, living with Simon, a tanner of hides. I want to ask you a question. Would anyone weep for you when you are gone because of all the good that you have done in serving others? Would anyone weep for you if you were gone, moved someplace else, or died, because of all the good you have done serving others? Tabitha, or Dorcas as her name, was so well known, and she so reached out to the poor, and she reached out to the widows. And I don't believe, the scripture seems to indicate that those who were weeping, some were believers and some were not, that all of the people that she touched were believers. I believe some came, both because of the miracle and because of her outreach. But ask yourself this question, because I've asked myself it. Would anyone weep for you if you were gone because of the service that you have offered? And now here's where it gets even more personal to all of us. Would anyone weep for CFA if it was gone? because of the service which we have offered or the lives that we have touched or how we have ministered, whether it be to single moms, those in with problem pregnancies, those who needed food or lodging because we're helping over at Love Chapel. Would anyone weep because this church is gone? That's our goal. Not to get people to cry for us, but that we would be so involved in our community, touching lives, that if something would ever happen to us, there would be a void. There was a man who recently passed away in our community. His name was Tony McClelland. Is that the proper saying of his name? He worked at East High School. I knew him through a minister's prayer group. Some of you may have seen the full page or the front page article in the Republic. He was a man who has pastored in this community, one of the churches on the west side of town for a period of time. He's been involved in Columbus. He's been involved in the sports program. He's been involved in diversity. This past Wednesday, I was meeting with the same group of pastors again. We pray once a month, and we actually had this incredible time of literally eulogizing Pastor McClelland. Because of all that was written of him in the paper, where he would be missed, there were former students from 20, 25 years ago, because of what he did in my life, I am this, because of this. There are organizations that he served on boards, there were places. Here was a man that, at least according to the Republic, and at least according to the friends who knew him far better than I do, is leaving a void in the community because he made it one of his goals to love like Jesus loved, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, whether he was working at Columbus East High School, whether he was coaching a track team, or whether he was involved in a community group. He was well known. They couldn't have they had to have his funeral in one of our larger churches in town, because of all of the people that they expected would have been there, because here is a man similar to Dorcas who touched lives with his love. Oh, would it be that we could be a church where each and every one of us is so invested someplace in our community that we would be missed, significantly missed, when we are gone, whether that means we retire and move or we pass on? Who will weep for us? And then our last point this morning, we need to just not go to church. We need to be the church. And as I said, many of you are already out in the community being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But it's always good to be reminded of what our Lord expects. We should work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where we live. We should pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine our welfare. But I'm just not going to serve this city because it's going to impact my welfare. That's just an after effect. I'm going to pray for the city and work in the city because I want it to be better. Now, some of us, including your pastor, have gotten a little bit comfortable. You know, we have our Christian life, we have our friends, we have our routines. I haven't been significantly involved in this community. I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit, which is why I have made some changes. Or in getting ready to make some and to invest some time every week, at least every month. We've gotten very comfortable. And what I felt was that for those of us that fall into this category, we need to have our cages rattled. You know that old term, having your cage rattled, shook up a little bit? I went and I decided to check Google. You know, everything's on Google, right? And this is what cage rattles means, or to rattle one's cage, to purposely anger, upset, or unnerve one, especially to affect their performance. Do purposefully anger, upset, or unnerve one, especially to affect their performance? I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me, and He is doing a good job of it. He is purposefully going to rattle our cages a little bit to make us uncomfortable if we are not looking beyond ourselves, this body. There is a community where you live. There are organizations around us that we can help be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're not going to start a ton of new ministries. We'll probably start some. But we are going to see what your ideas are as to how. And it's not going to be hundreds of us going and doing one thing unless we have a big event. It may be three of us here and six of us there, or an individual here or there, going and allowing your heart to guide you as to where you can make a difference, being the hands and the feet of Jesus. But the meeting that we're going to have on the 31st is to start the ideas flowing. Where can we be involved? What can we do? What might we wish to facilitate, either out of our facility or with a big group of us? I don't know what your ideas might be. I'm not even going to suggest any. But that's what it's about. It's a beginning of brainstorming. Through brainstorming, we're going to try a couple, three of these. And some of them may work and some of them may not. So we'll find something else. Or it might be a one and done. You know, I'll bet you Blue Tassel Farms, at least from the photographs that I saw on Facebook yesterday, a group from a church in Indianapolis, they still have some physical labor projects to do. That would be being the hands and feet of Jesus that's going to impact inner city kids. Maybe it's at the Love Chapel. Maybe it's at Brighter Days, the homeless shelter. Maybe it's going to be, as I said, amongst single moms or the homeless. We don't know. Drug addicts. But I am going to believe that because this theme is being lifted up, you and I are going to get stirred by the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you will follow the leading. I close with this expression. Many of you have seen it before. It's been attributed to a lot of people, so I'm just putting it up on the screen as unknown. If not me, who? If not now, when? Could you put the slide up, please? If not me, who? If not now, when? You say, oh, I'm a little too old, or I'm too young, or I don't have much time. No. If not you, who? Well, after I get this taken care of. No, if not now, when? How will our community see Jesus if not through us? How can our community be noticeably different because Columbus First Assembly has been planted here by God over 60 years ago? How can it continue to make a difference? If CFA ceased to exist, would anyone outside of our regular attenders notice? And we need to not just go to church, we need to be the church. As the team comes to the platform, the music team, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, and not to pray out loud, but I want you to pray a prayer in your head and in your heart. You close your eyes and bow your heads and repeat after me in your heart. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? Oh God in heaven, I know what you spoke to me several months ago as you started to form these thoughts in my heart. It was time for me, as much as I love ministering to the people here, it's time for me to step out of the building, to step out of my office, to step out of my home, and to find a place or places where I can make Columbus better. I can help individuals with no agenda other than being your hands and feet extended. And Lord, if that impacts a life so they find the kingdom, ultimately, that would be fantastic. But I'm going to serve this community. I am going to pray for the peace of this city. I'm going to pray for the prosperity of this city. I'm going to pray for the welfare of this city. And I'm going to involve myself in this city. Because this is the city you have sent me. And Lord, I pray that as I am just speaking a personal prayer, others are catching the same prayer, and that you would use them. Young or old, male or female, with a lot of time, with a little time, with great gifts and skills and with minimal gifts and skills, there are places. Lord, may we be a church that our communities are different because we exist. Holy Spirit, speak to each and every one of your children. Our hearts are open to hear your voice. Can you imagine, maybe it's your 95th birthday or your 100th birthday, and this community or wherever you live had a party, and you were sitting there in the special chair for the birthday boy or the birthday girl, and word got out, and it was an open party. The 16-year-old boy comes up and shakes your hand. I'm so glad you lived in this town. My mommy didn't know what to do. Because you volunteered to this organization. I'm going to graduate high school in a couple of years. Or maybe an elderly saint. A little younger than you. You're 95, so we'll make them 89. Comes up to you and says, you know, at our senior center, once a month at game day, you know why I came? I enjoy playing games, but I came because I want to play games at your table. Because it was the best 2 hours of my month, sitting there and laughing with you, being loved by you. Maybe the 22-year-old little girl. Maybe you're 95 now. He says, you know, you used to come to my second grade classroom. I didn't do really good reading, but you read. And you helped me to read out loud. You were so encouraging because I was a terrible reader. I'm graduating Purdue next month. I don't think I would. That's what I'm talking about. Can you begin to lead your life not for the accolades, but it will help you to focus? Who's going to come up and shake your hand? I'm so glad that you lived. It was the old Ray Bolt song about thank you for giving to the Lord. It's similar to that, what we're talking about. This is just to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. If not me, who? If not now, when?
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you are not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.